kind of demand supply gap for healthcare that we have in India and in the broader South Asia region. What needs to get done is fast replication. I am seeing patients gravitate themselves more and more to single specialty organizations, basically because they feel that in this specialty, they want to go to the best. You know, when we started AHH, we had a spectrum of specialties that we believed have a rightful place on a standalone place on a standalone basis. Gastroenterology is the next one that I would definitely want to dig deeper into and see those opportunities and the opportunity of actually doing a GI and a minimal access surgical program together.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, and of course, professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, the little joys in life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial journeys. Unusual Suspect streams on earshot.a and spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I am delighted to have Vishal Bali, Executive Chairman, Asia Healthcare Holdings, or AHH. Vishal has over 30 years of experience in building global healthcare delivery organizations, which includes managing an integrated healthcare delivery system comprising hospitals, diagnostics, primary care, and daycare. His cross-geography exposure spanning the Asia-Pacific and the Middle East has given him the chance to transform healthcare businesses across different verticals. Prior to this, he was the group CEO for Fortis Healthcare Limited. Vishal was also the CEO and MD of Wockhardt Hospitals, where he spearheaded its development from a single branch to one of the largest specialty hospital chains. He also led its merger with Fortis Healthcare. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Vishal.
Thank you, Gaurav. Pleasure to be here and pleasure to be on your podcast.
You know, Vishal, Asia Healthcare Holdings, AHH, has been trying to carve a niche for itself in India's healthcare space by focusing primarily on single specialty hospitals. Tell me a bit more about this strategy. How does this fit in a crowd of multi-specialty hospital chains?
So Gaurav, over a period of time, you know, when obviously, as you know, that I've lived the healthcare life for almost about three odd decades, and a large portion of that time frame has gone behind, running large format, multi-specialty healthcare networks. This was both at Wockhardt and also at Fortis. And I realized a couple of years back that the kind of demand supply gap for healthcare that we have in India and in the broader South Asia region, what needs to get done is fast replication, one. Second, capital deployment, which will also have better ROICs. And third, a pan-geography presence, which will sort of provide accessibility of healthcare to, you know, across the segment of population. And this is possible not just by doing large format multi-specialty hospitals, because from the time that you dig ground for a large 250, 300 bedded hospital to the time that it actually gets commissioned and its path to break even, that time horizon is almost about five odd years. But given the supply constraints that's there in the healthcare ecosystem in the country, we need something which, as a model of healthcare, which can sort of do rapid replication. And so therefore, you know, as you will go through some of our examples, we've built now, you know, almost close to 20 hospitals in motherhood in a span of just about 4 odd years. So I think this entire platform approach towards single specialty healthcare has got a deeper meaning for us, which goes beyond just economic value, but to create more impact around healthcare delivery across the country.
You know, Vishal, from a patient's or a consumer's point of view, why should anyone prefer a single specialty hospital instead of a multi-specialty one? I ask you this question because given a multi-specialty hospital offers other services too in case of an unforeseen medical condition and emergency. Vishal?
So, Gaurav, the way to think about it is that in a large format multi-specialty hospital, there every specialty coexists, right? So, right from cardiology, cardiac surgery, all the way to obstetrics and pediatrics. But in a single specialty format, the customer engages with that provider only for that specialty. And so therefore, it also becomes important for the provider of that specialty to ensure optimized customer satisfaction, one. Second, to also ensure that from an innovation perspective and also from a specialization perspective, that you keep moving the bar up in that specialty because you have none other to focus on. And thirdly, which is also important from a CapEx utilization perspective, that you also make sure that, you know, the entire CapEx utilization of that particular specialty inside that single specialty box also gets optimized to the highest extent, which does not necessarily happen in a large format multi-specialty institution. I am seeing patients gravitate themselves more and more to single specialty organizations, basically because they feel that in this specialty, they want to go to the best. And which also sometimes in the large format multi-specialty institutions, most of the specialties that patients would gravitate towards are those very extensive life-saving specialties, which also require the association of the other core specialties. They also require the intensive care units. They require post-surgical backup across different specialties. So there is a requirement around, for example, if we were to take neurology, neurosurgery. Neurology, neurosurgery is always going to be very, very difficult to come out into a single specialty format because most of neuro issues also have other comorbid situations which require the management of this patient along with all the other specialties. So that cannot really come out. But obstetrics and gynecology is absolutely a specialty which has come out. IVF as a specialty is again a specialty that has come out. Oncology and oncosurgery is a specialty that has come out because, again, it's very targeted and very organ specific. Likewise, urology and nephrology is a specialty that has come out because it is, again, very targeted towards urology and nephrology clinical issues. So I think from that context, from a consumer mindset and from the change that is happening in the way that the consumers perceive healthcare services and want to consume healthcare services, I think single specialty has now created a very influential system or preference in the minds of the consumer.
Vishal, AHS was founded in 2016 as an operating platform. It now owns hospitals and also exits from hospital businesses. How do you reconcile the needs for functioning as a VC with that of a quality healthcare service provider, Vishal?
So AHH was conceived, Gaurav, from a perspective of an investment and operating platform. So in the world of venture capital and in the world of private equity, you build businesses one business at a time. That is the format, right? So under venture capital, you know, they probably do seed funding, you know, when the business is in its very, very early stage, and they help the founder basically to sort of grow the enterprise. By the time this enterprise grows and it's time now for a private equity fund to come in, this enterprise has probably scaled to a level where there is significant revenue and significant EBITDA for the private equity fund to come in and provide growth capital to this business. Most often than not, this company is still being run by the founder. And so the private equity fund is also coming in and supporting the founder in the founder's future ambition of growth of his or her enterprise. When we christened AHH, the idea was that we will be both an operating and an investing platform. And by that, what I mean is that we will take some very, very early stage companies, or we will take companies which have sort of grown to some extent, but have not really scaled very well on their gross margin and on their EBITDA margins. Last, we will also take companies which are probably, you know, have been there for a long period of time, but their capital deployment has not been very, very efficient. So the idea was that we will fund these enterprises, but we will also manage and run these enterprises, which is a very disruptive thought process in the world of both venture capital and private equity, because you don't take majority control of these companies when they are very, very small. Most often than not, private equity will take majority control of these companies when they have become large enough or they are going towards a listing process. So this was a very differentiated thought process. And I think what we have balanced out very well over here is, number one, identifying the specialties that need to come to the AHH platform. One, optimizing for the entire ecosystem of AHH, which, by the way, has just about four or five of us who sit on the AHH side. And then the companies are run by the CEOs and their management teams. So we are then able to optimize the value of the AHH team across the entire platform of AHH and across different companies of AHH, which again is a very, very differentiated thought process, because a platform like AHH actually just does not exist in the world of venture capital or private equity. So, and the fact that now we have, you know, we have built enterprises, as I was talking about, that we have built India's second largest oncology chain. In a short period of time, we have built India's, you know, fastest growing mother and child hospital chain. We took Nova IVF from Goldman Sachs when it was just 19 centers across 10 years in 2019. Today, Nova is 80 centers across 44 cities in the country. So this is all being done basically by the intersection of where capital and execution meet. And therefore, these companies are now becoming hugely valuable, more again from the consumer mindset.
Having successfully created niche healthcare chains in oncology, CTSI, mother and child care, motherhood hospitals, and fertility, as you said, Nova IVF, AHH has now acquired a majority stake in Asian Institute of Nephrology and Urology, AINU. What was the thought process behind acquiring AINU? Are you fully satisfied with the deal valuation, Vishal?
Yeah, Gaurav. So, you know, in our path to seeing various single specialty opportunities, you know, when we started AHH, we had, you know, we had a spectrum of specialties that we believed have a rightful place on a standalone place on a standalone basis, and therefore, you know, we've sort of gone out into the market looking for where these assets are and how these assets have sort of grown and delivered value to their patient population in the geographies which they are serving. We started, as I said, with oncology, then we did motherhood, then we did Nova IVF. The reason why we thought about AINU and we thought about urology and nephrology as a core specialty to now back through the AHH platform is, one, because as India is aging and as India advances, particularly, you know, from a consumer point of view, urology as a specialty has to evolve almost simultaneously, because urology is a specialty that sort of, you know, is an area that sort of moves towards consumer population or patient population, which is in the age group of 40, 45, 50 plus. So there is a total addressable market here in urology, which is beginning to get very large in this country. Nephrology, obviously, you know, India is the diabetic capital of the world, and there is a big need for more nephrology, hospital chains or nephrology as a specialty, basically because a lot of these diabetic patients are ending up getting into nephrology issues. So there is an absolute need to provide nephrology care to consumers in the country. While there are some standalone nephrology players who are already there, but the combination of urology and nephrology, which works together, it is like gastroenterology and minimally access surgery. They all go together. Neurology and neurosurgery grow together. The same way urology and nephrology go together. And we find that there is no other enterprise besides AINU, which has gone down this path of having both urology and nephrology together. So I believe that, from the 7 hospitals that AINU has in the country right now, and again, the good thing is that AINU is also spread across various cities in the country. They are in Hyderabad, they are in Vizag, they are in Chennai, they are in Siliguri. We believe that the model has the presentation in different cities. And so therefore, we should be able to accelerate their growth a lot more once the enterprise comes onto the EHH fold. From a valuation perspective, I'm very comfortable with it, basically because the company has shown consistent growth, has shown consistent EBITDA margin, and has great relevance across different markets in the country.
Are you looking at opportunities in the pathology diagnostic space too? Wouldn't incorporating your own pathology services company, despite the sector's disruption revolving around pricing, into the larger AHH ecosystem significantly enhance your capabilities, Vishal?
So yeah, Gaurav, that's another area that we are definitely looking at, because today, within the AHH fold itself, we are throwing up almost about $12 million of pathology value between our various companies on the AHH platform. So we believe that there is a great starting point, to start a pathology company or enterprise within the AHH fold. Second, we believe that specialty-oriented pathology is still an area where there are gaps within the country. And having created the specialty-led healthcare delivery ecosystem, we also believe that a specialty-led pathology diagnostics area will be very valuable on the AHH platform. So we are currently seeing in the marketplace whether there is a company that sort of matches this aspiration of ours, or we will do it de novo from within the AHH ecosystem.
What are the other new areas of specialty you're looking at besides diagnostics, as you mentioned? What is the kind of investment war chest you have for the next 3 to 5 years, Vishal?
So right now, through AHH, we have already invested close to about $357 million, Gaurav. And this has been in a very short span. We started AHH in 2017. We are now entering to 2024. So this investment has happened across 7 years. As you know, the 2 years went down in COVID. So effectively, this is almost like a 5-year deployment, which is very significant. And also the results are there to show with each one of the enterprises that has come onto the AHH fold. We have an exit also, which was one of the most celebrated exits in the country and on the oncology side. So as I look again in the spectrum of specialties that are out there, which have great relevance on the single specialty side, gastroenterology is the next one that I would definitely want to dig deeper into and see those opportunities and the opportunity of actually doing a GI and a minimal access surgical program together. Because that, again, is a combination that goes into the format of the small box, very focused, clinical innovation driven, utmost patient care driven specialty, as we have done with the others. So that is next. We will continue to see if there is an opportunity that we get in that space. Apart from that, I think standalone orthopedics is another one which is of relevance, because most of the orthopedic chains have ended up becoming multi-specialty hospitals rather than continuing with the niche of single specialty orthopedics. And again, orthopedics is again, as India is aging, there will be a lot more musculoskeletal issues, particularly of the aging population that needs to be addressed. Joint replacements is a big area. And I think that's of some relevance that, again, we would like to see over a period of time.
Vishal, finally, how do you see the Indian healthcare sector evolving qualitatively and in terms of providing affordable healthcare? What are the challenges specifically so far as the Indian healthcare sector is concerned? Because you have a ringside view of this. And on AHS, do you see, from an AHS point of view, do you see our healthcare, by our, I mean India's healthcare services, being on par with global standards, Vishal?
So one of the biggest issues, Gaurav, that India has faced over the last many decades is the public healthcare spending by the government has remained below or on an average at about 2% of GDP, which is amongst the lowest in the world. And I don't mean that India should be spending 16% of their GDP on healthcare as is relevant in the United States. But if you take a look at even some of the other rapidly developing countries, their public healthcare spending is in the region of 5 to 6% of the GDP. So India has largely been driven by the private healthcare ecosystem, which today has about 3.5% of GDP spend. So combined together, India is between public and private is in the region of about 5-5.5% of GDP spend. But the major portion of that is coming from private healthcare. So fundamentally, private healthcare has driven India's healthcare availability to a very, very large extent. And private healthcare is now funded externally or through private equity funds and venture capital funds, almost to the tune of about $6.5 to $7 billion. That's the amount of capital that has gone behind private healthcare ecosystem in this country, which effectively means that there is enough and more capital that is available today as far as India's healthcare ecosystem is concerned. There is enough opportunity of capital deployment as far as India's healthcare ecosystem is concerned, because on the demand supply gap, again, the supply side has been fairly constrained across the country. So therefore, there is definitive opportunity to keep growing healthcare delivery across the country. I think one of the biggest problems that we face in the country today is that of clinical and paraclinical manpower. For a very long period of time, India has completely underinvested on its medical education system, which is now becoming very, very apparent as the supply side of good clinicians keeps on dropping over a period of time. For a very long period of time, again, India's private healthcare ecosystem actually grew on the back of some top-class clinical talent, which was there on the public side. And that's obviously not a great situation, because the public side then therefore lost some very, very good talent to the private ecosystem. But simultaneously, they were not able to build the entire pipeline of talent within the public healthcare education system. So I think what we are suffering from today is decades of undernourishment of the Indian medical education system, and therefore lesser number of graduates coming out over a period of time. So while there is massive demand for healthcare infrastructure in the country, while there is massive demand around increasing the number of beds, tier two cities in the country are evolving so fast, they don't have enough healthcare infrastructure. So this is literally like changing the wheels of a car while the car is in motion. And India's healthcare ecosystem has a lot to do simultaneously to manage the supply side and the demand side together. We have similar issues on the nursing side and on the other paraclinical side, because that system, again, has not been nourished well over a long period of time. So I would say that India's healthcare ecosystem is scarcity in motion, but there is so much of interest that has come from both the large private equity funds, the smaller private equity funds. There are now some specialized healthcare funds, which all are looking to deploy more and more capital in the India healthcare ecosystem. So I never see a shortage of the capital, but if we can move up the shortage ecosystem into a better system of people availability, I think India's healthcare system is poised to grow exponentially from here. The sector is currently growing at about 15-16% per annum, and I see no reason as to why this will not continue at the same pace over the next many, many years.
Thank you, Vishal, for your deep insights and perspective on a variety of issues regarding the Indian healthcare sector and also the plans for EHH and what and how you intend to scale it up across a variety of sectors.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's a pleasure to be here with you.